What was an enjoyable time for your family during the Great Depression? I know we're going to get back. I wanted to ask you one other question about your chores, what your specific chores was, but what did y'all do for enjoyment?
Our family had it was a big joy for us to come to the table to eat a meal. Our table was filled up. My two brothers that are spoken of, older than I, sat on the side of the table with a sister, and my dad sat at the side there, and my older brother at the end, and mother and older sister at the other end, and my mother on the bench with ever how many children came along, and it came along finally, there were five besides her that had to eat on the bench. We'd get around that table and we would do away with a nice amount of food in about 30, 40 minutes and have a big time doing it.
All right.
Of course, we had town ball back then, and, you know, like one-eyed cat.
No, sir. What's one-eyed cat?
That just takes three to play that, a batter and a pitcher and a catcher. You can stay in that all day if it can't get you out. But if it gets you out, you have to rotate.
Right. What did getting back to work, what was your job on around the farm? What did your dad make you do? What was your chore?
My brother and I, my brother Buford, 2 years older than I, who's deceased. I'm the oldest living one of the family now, with two brothers that are still living. There's three of us. But my job was with him. We were paired off to do the feeding of the cattle and the horses or the mule. And we were paired off to get the firewood that on Saturday during the winter when we went to school. We knew what our job was on Saturday morning, is get up and get out and get a load of wood delivered in the yard that would at least last for another week. We provided things like that. And then I plowed from the time I was 10 years old at different places where we were cultivating different crops of sorts, and did this still fertilizer by hand. And
what kind of fertilizer was it?
Well, it was a 10-2-2 mix that we used most, and then of course we used the manures that were available in the lots and the barns to enrich the place. We always had good growths of a variety of things.
How many acres did your dad's farm consist of?
The only farm that my dad ever bought was a 41-acre farm right there near Jasper. When we moved down from Merrilee to Jasper, we moved at what was called the Richardson place out on the Boldo Road. And from there, we moved up on the Manchester Road, 2.5 miles out from Jasper, at Kilgore place. And my dad bought that place for $1,700, 41 acres, had a fairly good house on it, and by the way we would stack up, it slept us all right and gave us room to live, and we used that and when I was thinking the how things have changed from what in the children and receiving the place when it was divided up when Mama left. My brother was an administrator. We divided it up, and I took what was left because two of my brothers had already built on the place there in a lot, and they didn't have any quick claim deed on any of it. They just stepped off something and built it. So we gave them the privilege of sharing what they wanted to share, claim, and I took the last that was available because that was during the time I was living in Kentucky and Tennessee after I became a preacher and moved from Alabama to Kentucky to go to the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. And I got $35,000 for my inheritance there. And as I said, my dad in 1917 bought it for $1,700.
You profit like that.
Well, there's some inflation involved in that line of time, you see.
All right. Papa, let's stick in between 1929 and until World War II, when World War II, we know, helped the Great Depression.
All right. All right. 1929, we were living, wife and I were living in Riverview, Alabama. I married Elisa Ellis in 1932. Been married to the same girl, sweet girl, for 63 years now. And still have her with me, thank the Lord. And as I said, she was a school teacher and had taught school 4 years before we married in 1932. But now in 1929, I was had started to Howard College, and I finished in 1934 and moved to Riverview, Alabama, and from Riverview moved to Henderson, Kentucky, on in the western part of Kentucky. On Henderson is located on the Ohio River in western Kentucky.
Were you in seminary then? Or?
Yes, I was in seminary. My church, two churches I had, were 150 miles from Louisville. But for 3 years, through the snow and the freezes and everything else, I didn't miss a single appointment. I didn't have to go on the fifth Sunday because they were what we call halftime churches, two Sundays a month, second and fourth and first and third. So about for the 3 years, I lived in Louisville, and from September to May, I didn't miss going to my church field, stayed well, and enjoyed the fellowship of the church so much during those times. And immediately after finishing the seminary in July, I was called to the First Baptist Church, Tullahoma, Tennessee. And was in 1941. I finished the seminary in 1940 with a PhD degree.
How in the world did you make it through these hard times, ever go through high school, finish college, and then then attempt seminary? Just kind of give me a highlight. How were you able to do that during these hard times?
Son, I don't know, but I've often said, in thinking over, and this is just not coming off of my head now, but take from the time I went, say, to Birmingham Southern, my first year, I got full credit for
Now, what year was this?
That was in 1930. For the whole year. And then my Howard College years, 3 more years over there, which came out in 34. And then down 3 years on the pastorate in Riverview, Alabama, and then on to, I had a 3-year intermission. I've often said that counting from the time I married, time we married, until I finished the seminary and got moved back to moved to Tullahoma First Baptist Church, that everything that we had spent in the way of money, counting food, clothes, and everything else, would be less than $5,000. And we didn't owe anybody anything. You could get 5 hamburgers for a quarter at Henderson's, and that would make a good Saturday night supper for us if we had the quarter. But we had another thing, the Kentucky churches didn't pay anything much in the way of money, but they really made up in food. I was pastor of Bethel Church, and I read in their minutes that Elder so-and-so on a certain date back in the 80s was paid X number of dollars worth of whiskey and tobacco. I showed that to my wife, and I said, I came to this church in the wrong time.
So that would have been in what, the 80s, 18?
It was back in 1889, somewhere along there.
So they paid him in whiskey and tobacco. Whiskey
and so many gallons of whiskey and so many pounds of tobacco, of course. Oh, I'm sure that good old Baptist preacher turned it into money.
All right, what, Carbone, what about, we know Hoover, starting around 29, he was the president.
He's leaving out.
Leaving out, yeah. And he had the Hoovervilles and all that. What did you think of that episode that happened on the Hoovervilles up around the Capitol, and he sent the army on them? When did you hear about that?
Well, at the time, of course, there wasn't much. We didn't have the communication that we have now. We hear about things now before they happen. It's so good. But when it got out, things like that, they were somewhat disturbing, but not so much so. Seemed like people just had a feeling that something was happening. They didn't know what it was or why it was, but somehow or another we were going to come through it. People were optimistic. I don't feel that today in a lot of time, in a lot of ways, the way things are happening right now, because I think we've become too dependent on government to take care of too many different things. But we hadn't been used to the government doing anything much but just drawing their pay and carrying on.
What do you remember when FDR when he came into office? First of all, I want to know your feelings of FDR. Some people, they love him, some hate him. I'd like to know your feelings, and then some of the programs that, and I'm going to specify those that I want you to talk about, but just give me the feeling of FDR. What did he do for the morale of the people here in Alabama during the Great Depression?
Well, I think he became the savior of the situation. He was the man that I think the Lord had prepared to do what he did do.
All right, what? So your opinion of FDR, you say he's the savior. All right, well, let's just backtrack a little bit. What was your opinion of Hoover?
Well, I think Hoover couldn't help what happened because it was on its way before Coolidge left office.
Right.
And you can take the time that we're in right now and make a good comparison. Who we have there now can't help what's going on years before. You see what I mean?
Yes.